The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for January only costs $7.99. It's titled, Five Things You Can Do to Witness Christ. You can browse before you buy at issuesetc.org, or you can purchase Five Things You Can Do to Witness Christ by calling Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040, equipping you to witness Christ on the front lines. Five Things You Can Do to Witness Christ.
The moral case for allowing such beings to be killed grows ever weaker, and its advocates resort to ever more absurd euphemisms to describe what they support.
Their baptism was using the same water that Jesus was using in the Jordan. It's called H2O.
The church is aware of its own blemishes and difficulties and sins, and Christ sees none of it. And that, of course, is the gospel.
Washington jet drivers love Issues Etc.
Well, many are looking forward to this coming weekend, big sports weekend, obviously, the Super Bowl being held in New Jersey. And many of us think of this as a passing entertainment. It certainly is a passing entertainment. Do these things make history? Well, sometimes sports history. Do they really matter to the fabric of our lives? Mostly not, except for those who actually make their living doing these things. I'm certain it matters to the fabric of their lives. What about praying for it? We make jokes about praying for the Super Bowl or its outcome, or God being a Broncos fan or a Seahawks fan. Those are jokes, but what does it reveal about how we think about God and how we think about prayer as well? Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in live on this Thursday afternoon, the 30th of January. Pastor Brian Wolfmiller joins us to talk about God, the Super Bowl, and prayer for the first half hour. Then Pastor Brian Ketchelmeyer will be with us, as he usually is. We'll be doing Christ in the Old Testament in 1 Samuel chapter 1, Samuel given to the Lord. Pastor Brian Wolfmiller is a regular guest, pastor of Hope Lutheran Church in Aurora, Colorado, co-host of a weekly radio show called Table Talk Radio, general editor of Around the Word Journal. Brian, welcome back.
Thank you, Todd. It's always great.
Most of us are going to say, you know, pray about the Super Bowl. As fans, no, it's a trivial matter unless you're Peyton Manning, unless you're one of the coaches, maybe you know, work for the organization. It's a trivial thing for the fans. Is anything too trivial to bring to God in prayer?
I think that's a fantastic way to start, because that's what I got to thinking about this. You know, here in Aurora, which is just right next door to Denver, and all of the conversation everywhere is about the Broncos. I mean, everybody's talking about it. It's on the radio. People are flying Bronco flags. Everyone's going, you know, berserk about the Broncos. And my own conversations as well, you know, paying attention, guessing who's going to win, talking about the players, their health, how they do in the playoffs, what the weather's going to be like and how that'll adjust it, talking strategy of the game. It's just such a part of the conversation with my neighbor. And yet it seems trivial to bring that conversation to God. Does God really care? Does he have a team picked out that he wants to win? Is God particularly interested in the outcome of the sporting game? And I suppose that the way to answer that question is just to say that God be praised that he is, in fact, interested in us. And he might not be interested in the Super Bowl. I don't know if he's picked a team or not. He certainly hasn't revealed it to us. But that he is interested in us, and he hears our prayers like a dear father hears the prayers of their dear children, so that there's nothing too trivial for us to pray. All the times in the Bible that talks about prayer, there's always this whatever you ask, anything that you ask, this kind of thing, so that the Lord would have us bring all of our prayers and all of our concerns to him. Now, what that looks like with the Broncos might be a little tricky question that we'll want to talk about, but this is a good place to start. There's nothing too trivial for God. He doesn't filter out our prayers and hear the important ones first, and then not that important ones later. He listens to everything that we say, and this is a completely undeserved gift.
So you're saying that when it comes to something like, and it usually is cited as an example of a trivial prayer, we're really asking the wrong question there. We ask, you know, does God care about who wins, or does God have a team, or is he rooting for one side or the other? Wrong questions. You say, does God care about us and what we care about?
That's right. And this is so we know that on the first side, that God listens to us in his mercy. I mean, he wouldn't have to. I think we forget about this because we think of God, when we think of prayer, at least this is how I think of it, I'm tempted to think of it, is that God is like a friend who doesn't know how to hang up the phone, and so I'm probably like this. I call someone, and they don't want to answer it because they know I'll have them on the phone all day, and so they don't answer, but then they feel guilty, and so, you're wanting them to call you back and this sort of thing. And this is how we think of God. Like, he's sitting there waiting for us. He really wants someone to talk to, and he's there waiting for us to call him. And we don't really want to, but we know he'll feel bad if we don't. This is the wrong idea of prayer, that the Lord would listen to us and take heed to our counsel is a phenomenal gift of his mercy. The best picture, I think, in the Bible of this would be like Queen Esther, who she's married to Ahasuerus, the Assyrian king, and that king's going to murder all the Jews, and so Esther's going to go in and petition for the Jews' safety, but she's afraid because it's against the law to go and talk to the king unless you've been invited, even if you're his wife. To go and talk to him is a great privilege, and yet that's what the Lord does for us when he says, look, come and talk to me. And it's not like we have to kind of gather around, the church gets together and we say, okay, we're going to send the pastor to say a prayer, so let's figure out the most important thing, and maybe we'll send a delegation to ask the Lord for something once every 5 years at great risk to our life. No, the opposite is true for our prayer. The Lord says, come and pray, and anything you need, anything you're thinking about, include that in your prayers. And this is a beautiful privilege, a wonderful gift of the gospel.
I tend to think about it this way, Brian, and that's a little bit the other way around, which is, you know, if I started culling my prayers because they're stupid, or because what I'm praying about really ultimately in the grand sweep of things isn't going to matter at all, or 10 years from now it will have proven not to be a completely unfounded concern, something like that. Well, I wouldn't pray for anything. I come to the conclusion that most of my prayers are probably stupid, but that shouldn't stop me from praying.
Well, that's right. I mean, Jesus says that not a single sparrow, you buy a sparrow for a penny, I guess, but not a single sparrow falls to the ground without the Father knowing about it, and that our Heavenly Father has numbered the hairs on our head. I mean, if there's any sort of trivial thing, it would be the numbers of hairs that you have, and yet this is how deep the Lord's concern is for us. He doesn't ask us to sort out, what prayer is really going to make a difference in the future of the world. He just says, pray, and so we do.
Why do we do this? Why do we, on both ends of the spectrum, why do we say, well, that's impossible, so I'm not going to ask God for that?
Well,
it's impossible. And then on the other end say, well, that's so mundane, I'm not going to ask God for that. Why do we do this?
There's a day. What if we take the two errors of St. Peter? So Jesus comes to wash Peter's feet. You remember that? And it's on right before Jesus gives the Last Supper, and he's going to die the next day. And they're sitting around eating, and he stands up from the meal, and he wraps himself with a towel, and he comes to wash the disciples' feet. And he comes to Peter, and Peter says, "No, Lord, you can't do this." In other words, I am not important enough. You are the greatest. You can't be troubled to serve me. And so that's probably the first error. We think, oh, who is the Lord to be troubled with me and all my little things? I mean, God is so great. He's trying to run the universe and all this sort of thing. Who am I that I should bother him, that I should pester him with my prayers? So that's the first error. But then Jesus says to Peter, if I don't wash you, you have no part of me. So then Peter flips to the other side, and he says, okay, Lord, then wash my whole body. So now we're going to make God into our servant, and he'll serve us the way we want him to, and that's the error on the flip side. We want to have our prayers in the middle, then, where Jesus comes and he says, "Here's what I have for you. Here's my mercy and my kindness for you," but I'm going to be the one who's going to determine what it is that you need and when you need it and how you need it.
Take us through some of those passages that you only mentioned briefly a few minutes ago, those whatever, those anything passages.
Here's one, Matthew 21. Whatever you ask in prayer, you will receive if you have faith. Or John, there's a bunch of this in John, especially when Jesus is right after the washing the disciples' feet. John 14:13-14, whatever you ask in my name, this I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask me anything in my name, I will do it. Or John 15:7, if you abide in me, my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. Or how about this from 1 John chapter 5? And this is the confidence that we have towards him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And we know that he hears us in whatever we ask, and we know that we have the requests that we have asked of him. So there's this great, broad swath of the whatever that we have. There is, though, and in all of these texts, except for the one I didn't read, John 16, there is a limiting factor, and that is that the prayers that we ask are asked in faith. And this is an important thing, especially when we're praying for something which God has not promised us.
So let's sort that out a little bit, because there are things that we are commanded to pray for, explicitly commanded to pray for. They are not optional subjects of prayer. And we, of course, would begin with the Lord's Prayer and all the things that the Lord teaches us, and I would say commands us to pray for. He says, when you pray, say. That's an imperative.
Right, right.
So there are those things that are obviously most important. And then there's the whatever, the anything. Take us through the broad swath there.
Well, so we don't pray, for example, Lord, hallowed be thy name if it be your will. Because we know that his name being hallowed is in fact his will. So we don't bring any sort of condition or submission of our own will to those prayers when we pray for the things that God has promised. Give us this day our daily bread if it be your will. No, we pray for daily bread with great confidence, with the amen of faith, that trust that the Lord wants to give us daily bread and has indeed promised to provide us with this. So when we pray, and we want to pray like this most of the time, whenever we can, we are praying on the Lord's promises. It's one of the reasons why it's so important to read the scriptures in conjunction with our prayers, to read the Psalms, to learn how to pray, because there we're praying not from the kind of emptiness of our own thoughts and our own mind and our own heart, but rather from the fullness of the Lord's word. So when we pray for those things that the Lord has promised us, that the Lord has told us that his will is, that his word would be preached in its purity, that his kingdom would come, that he would keep us in the faith until we die, we pray these things with great boldness. But there are times, many times, when we don't know what the Lord's will is. I don't know if it's the Lord's will that I would live through the day, or that if this would be my last day on earth. I don't know if it's the Lord's will that the cold that I have would go away or that I would keep it for a couple of months. I don't know those sorts of things. So when I'm praying for things that don't have a promise from God, then the prayer is conditioned, if it be your will. Jesus is the example in the garden. It's an amazing thing that Jesus doesn't know the Father's will for that deep humiliation in the garden, and he comes along and prays, Lord, if it's possible, let this cup pass from me, but not my will, but your will be done. And so Jesus teaches us that when we pray for those things that that don't have specific promises from God, then we trust in the goodness of God and that he hears our prayers and that he knows best.
We're talking about God, the Super Bowl, and prayer. Pastor Brian Wolfmiller is our guest when we come back. Do we have to have a complete list of all those things that seem so trivial to us? Stay tuned.
Hello, this is Pastor Kevin Golden of Village Lutheran Church in Ladue, Missouri. The saints at Village Lutheran are proud to be part of the Issues Etc. 300, sharing in their Christ-centered, cross-focused proclamation of the gospel. If you find yourself in St. Louis, join us on Sundays at 8:15 and 10:45 for the Divine Service, 9:30 for Bible study and Sunday school, as we receive Christ's gifts of forgiveness, life, and salvation. Or visit us on the web at www.villagelutheranchurch.org.
Christ at the Center, The Justification of the Ungodly, A Contemporary View of Faith and Reason, The Holy Spirit in Christ. These are just some of the almost 30 essays included in Propter Christum, Christ at the Center. It's a new book of essays in honor of Issues Etc. regular guest, Pastor Daniel Preuss. Find out more and purchase Propter Christum at shop.logia.org. Propter Christum, Christ at the Center, shop.logia.org.
Real Reformation Radio. You're listening to Issues Etc.
In Higher Things, we believe that if you put good Christ crucified for you Lutheranism into a youth, you'll get a good Christ crucified for you Lutheran youth. Join us this July at the Higher Things Crucified Youth Conferences in Florida, Wisconsin, Utah. Check us out at www.higherthings.org. Higherthings.org. Dare your youth to be Lutherans this summer.
The 500th anniversary of the Lutheran Reformation is fast approaching. We have such a rich history as Lutherans, and many people don't realize that. The CLCC offers a seminar called Your Reformation Walk that teaches that rich heritage and helps you appreciate it. The CLCC also offers other seminars designed to help laity learn to appreciate what Lutherans believe, teach, and confess. So invite us to your church. Visit theclcc.org and get details on scheduling a seminar for your church today.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. 10 more minutes with Pastor Brian Wolfmiller talking about God, the Super Bowl, and prayer. And then we'll be talking about 1 Samuel chapter 1, where Samuel, even before he's born, is dedicated to the Lord and then is given to the Lord. Where is Christ in that Old Testament story? We'll find out in about 10 minutes here on Issues Etc. Pastor Wolfmiller, before the break, you were talking about that we ought to be, you know, bold enough so as to pray for even the trivial things. And the big things, of course, have the promise of God. The trivial things, nothing is too trivial. We always pray, thy will be done. Someone listening to us says, well, I think I'm tracking with you on that, but I'm a little worried that I don't have a complete list of all the trivialities, and if I don't, they won't get taken care of.
Yeah, that's right. So we have the confidence, the scriptures will say kind of over and over, the Lord causes it to rain on the just and the unjust, the righteous and the unrighteous, so that the Lord is giving gifts even when we're not praying for them. And we also have the confidence that Jesus is busy praying for us and seeing to it that we have all that we need, so that we don't we want to say, oh, man, my friend died because I forgot to pray for them yesterday, and then they didn't get better. We don't want to go that sort of direction. But we do know that as we commend ourselves, our lives, like Luther teaches us to do in the morning and evening prayer, I commit myself, my body and soul, and all things. We commit all of our everything to the Lord and trust that He'll take care of us through the day and through the night.
Do we also have the confidence that where our prayers, and they always do fall short, those prayers of Christ are perfect?
Yeah, that's exactly right. So the Holy Spirit carries up our prayers to Jesus, and Jesus kind of takes them and perfects them and carries them to the Father, like a spell checker. So by the time our prayers get to the ears of the Heavenly Father, they are perfect and holy and a perfect delight to them. That's another reason why we have great confidence in our prayers. But then I think the question is, I mean, with this kind of thing, how to pray for the Broncos, how is it that I can find some sort of certainty in a prayer for something that God hasn't revealed? So He has not revealed who He's rooting for in the Super Bowl or who will win. So how can I go to that sort of thing, and how can I pray? And that, I think, is an interesting question.
Okay, so since we have tried to do this without asking the wrong questions, what's the right question to begin to answer something like, lest we sound silly, can we take those whatevers, those anythings of those promises about prayer, can we apply that to the Broncos, or if some of our listeners might be Seahawks fans?
We'll say a prayer for that too, Todd. But this is how I think we have to handle it, is that our prayers start with our vocation. So what is my vocation? I'm a husband, and so I pray for Carrie. I'm a father, so I pray for Hannah and Andrew and Daniel and Isaac. I'm a pastor, so I pray for Hope Lutheran Church and the preaching of the Lord's Word here. And I'm a neighbor. And I think this is where something like the Broncos and the Seahawks and the Super Bowl is more than a football game. It is at least a football game, but it is much more than that. I mean, there's a lot of games being played. I mean, probably across the street there's people playing Monopoly. Down in the park there's kids playing football, but it does not enter into the conversation of my neighbor like the Broncos do. And the Broncos then are part of what it means to be a neighbor in Aurora, Colorado. It's part of the identity of this place. And so the prayers for the Broncos then enter into my vocation as neighbor, so that I'm able to thank God for those things that bind me to my neighbor. That I can go up to a stranger who's wearing a Broncos jersey and start talking to them about you know, about cold weather concerns or about how the defense is peaking now at the end of the season through the playoffs or whatever. I could just start talking to a complete stranger. I give a high five to someone, you know, wearing a Manning jersey or a Champ Bailey jersey as we walk down the street. And this is a phenomenal gift from God that he binds us to our neighbor with even things that don't seem to matter. With the weather report and with the elections that we have, the local elections, and with the, whatever sort of even tragedies that are there, these all bind us together to our neighbor. And for this we thank God, and we pray that the Lord would continue to give us these things which bind us to the people around us.
Does that that focus of vocation also help us kind of better understand that there are things that we actually can pray for? And we do this generally as congregations when we do this prayer of the church and we're talking about people of every vocation and every, you know, we single some of them out and we leave others in kind of a general, you know, everybody who's working or something like that. But you look at an organization, say like an NFL team, there are a lot of people who are being fed by the money made on their games and this game. There are a lot of careers being made. There are people who are carrying out their vocation, even though their vocation may be to throw or catch a ball. It's still a godly vocation. How does that help?
Yeah, that's right. I mean, and especially honorable when Peyton Manning does it. I mean, this is just fantastic. So that we look at all of these ways that the Lord orders the world in creation, and we give thanks to God for that. We are not Gnostics, as if we are just minds that float around in different places. We have a locatedness. I think the economists and political philosophers call it territoriality. But it is to say in the Bible that we have a specific set of neighbors with specific gifts, and they're different from one another. I mean, not everyone can do what those athletes are going to do on Sunday. And we rejoice in that. It's part of being created by God. It's part of what we confess in the first article, that we rejoice that the Lord has created us and that he continues to sustain our lives and the lives of our neighbors. So there is a way that this prayer for the Broncos becomes a certainty, and that is by this vocation of being a neighbor in this place.
You say, we pray as we live. What do you mean?
Well, I think that's how we connect our prayers to being a neighbor. So that when I ask the question, I think there's three questions that all have the same answer. And they are, what should I do today? What sin should I confess? And what should I pray for? And those three questions generally have the same answer. I have a specific vocation to be a father and husband and teacher in the church, and I have a specific vocation to be a citizen and a son and a brother, and all of these things now enter into my prayers. They also enter into when I say what should I confess. These are the specific places where I fall short, and it also answers the question when I wake up, what should I be doing today? What should I fill my time with? What should this day be constructed of? So that this doctrine of vocation, what is my vocation and station in life, or my varied vocation, is wonderfully a wonderful clarifying question, not just for our prayers, but also for our doing.
So Sunday night, after the clock has finally run down, final whistle blows, win or lose, what's your prayer, Pastor Wolf Miller?
Well, I think my prayer is a prayer of thanksgiving. It's a prayer of thanksgiving that the Lord, that not only has the Lord given me the command to love my neighbor, but that he's actually given me neighbors to which I can begin to keep that command. I give thanks to God for the time that I spent with my family and friends watching the game. I give thanks to God for food and drink and for all the great sustenance, for laughter and for joking around. I give thanks to God for all of these things, and I pray that he would continue to strengthen these bonds that bind us together. And probably I'll say a prayer of thanksgiving for the Broncos' victory.
Pastor Brian Wolf Miller is pastor of Hope Lutheran Church in Aurora, Colorado, co-host of a weekly radio show called Table Talk Radio. He's general editor of Around the Word Journal. You can read How to Pray for the Broncos, an article that he has written, and find out how to receive a Round the Word journal. It's free weekly devotions as well under the Listen on Demand page at issuesetc.org. Brian, thank you very much.
Always a pleasure, Todd. Thank you.
When we come back on this Thursday afternoon, we'll spend some time in the Old Testament in 1 Samuel chapter 1, beginning at the 21st verse, where that familiar story where Samuel is given to the Lord even before he's born. Where is Jesus in this story? Pastor Brian Ketchelmeyer will be our guest, and we'll continue our weekly series with him, Christ in the Old Testament. We're joined now by listener Rocky. Rocky, tell us about the tax benefits of donating stocks to Issues, etc.
What we discovered in talking with our tax people and our stock advisors is that it would be beneficial for us to be giving our charitable donations by this means, by giving stocks, which meant that we could give a stock and essentially say if you gave a $100 stock, it's straight money to whatever charitable organization you want to give, as opposed to cashing it out, we'd only be able to give whatever portion was left over after the tax consequences.
How would you advise our listeners if they're interested in donating stocks, bonds, or mutual funds?
They need to go and talk to their stockbroker or their tax person, and I think they'll find out it makes a heck of a lot of economic sense. And you're much better steward with your money, because what you're ending up doing is stretching the dollars that you're able to give donation-wise, and you're able to give a whole lot more directly to those people that you want to support, and you're able to preserve much more for yourself using the laws that have been provided for it.
Rocky, is there anything that we left out that you want to tell our listeners?
Well, the only thing that you've missed is that people really need to support Issues, etc. This is a terrific way to do it in a very economical way. It's a way to do it and be good stewards of the resources that God has blessed people with. And I would encourage everyone to support Issues, etc. in every possible way that they can. And if this is available to them, I'd encourage them to look into it, because it not only will help them, but it'll help Issues, etc. also.
To find out how to reduce your tax burden and support this worldwide outreach by donating stocks, bonds, or mutual funds, talk to your stockbroker or tax advisor, and then call Craig here at Lutheran Public Radio, 618-223-8385.
We're supported by listeners like you. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
Does your church need a full-time or backup organist? The virtual organist service from Church Music Solutions is genuine organ leadership using your instrument with your specific selections when you need it. You can try it out for free with our demo unit, which allows you and your members to hear and see the virtual organist without obligation and without a sales pitch. For more details, go to churchmusicsolutions.com.
Would you like to help your son or daughter achieve their maximum athletic potential? Hi, this is Jeff Schwarz, General Manager of Lutheran Public Radio. My friend, fellow parishioner, and certified athletic trainer, Kevin Reisick, is the owner and operator of Arch Fitness of East Alton, Illinois. Arch Fitness specializes in sports performance training for middle school to collegiate level athletes. For more information, call Kevin at 618-670-6952. 618-670-6952.